Well, hello everybody, this is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper, and it's a little bit more of a rant today than some of them have been. This is a topic that a buddy of mine, now this is a really good buddy here, this is a buddy of mine wanted me to do the rant on this subject. Now, this buddy may have had the opportunity in the past to bring this up, but I think he was being a bit of a coward because he didn't, so he left it to me. And I told him I would. Man of my word, so I'm going to. Now, there's going to be blowback from this. I have no doubt. Because I'm going to give an honest rant. From an honest view of a free trapper, which is a free man. Which is a free thinking man. And sometimes when someone gives their opinion like this, and that's all it is opinion, it can be fuel for a fire. It can be food for thought, or it could be someone screaming, hollering, and sending them nasty emails. Now, you can send the emails if you want to, but if they're passive aggressive, I'm just going to put them in the delete, you know, hit the delete button. You know, I'm not going to put up with that, but, you know, is it going to be food for thought, or is there going to be food or food for fire, where someone's going to get fired up? I really don't know. Because what I'm getting ready to say, a lot of it's going to come across as very judgmental. And I'm kind of looking at this as a food for thought type thing instead of just a food for fire. So what's the question? Has America become a land of beggars? Is that what America means today? Is that what we've devolved to as a society? You don't earn stuff, you beg for it. You shame for it. You make people feel guilty for it. You play on someone's being uncomfortable at the moment for it. To get resources that you haven't traded anything of value to them first. Might sound like a crotchety old man here. That's okay, because on this subject, that's where I'm getting. I get, on average, because I'm a business, 2 calls a day, 300 plus days a year for every type of charity known to man. Some of them are policemen that are in other freaking states. State troopers that aren't even in my state. Fire departments that's 9 counties away. They're all for a good cause. But do you know what happens when this is on such a level that it is today? You just get where it's kind of like, oh my goodness, here's somebody else with their hand out asking for money. Now you may be thinking, well, you know, economy's tight, people are hurting. Oh yeah, oh I know that. I'm in the trapping business. Have you seen the fur prices lately? I know exactly about all that. I was in the pool business when the tech bubble crashed. Everybody's 401k was like flying high, and the next day they're all, you know, piss poor drunk in a bar somewhere because they lost 90% of their money overnight. I know about that. 100%. I know about what it means to not have money. I didn't have any money growing up. I really didn't have any amount of money of security until probably about 10 years ago. I know exactly what that is. But do you know what I never entered my mind? Is asking for a handout. See, to me, that's what America was built on. Because if it wasn't, everybody would have died when they come over here, because everybody was in crappy positions when they got over here and they had to carve out society of the wilderness. Where has that mentality went? Now you may be thinking, what exactly is he talking about? Because some charities are good and some are bad. And some are more worthy, I guess, than others. But the point is, when you get hammered as much as an American gets hammered today, and that is now becoming the way of business, people will start, and they already have, where they just start going, oh my goodness, they just completely shut down and turn away. I'm getting there. I'll be honest with you. I'm getting there. Because of all the calls and all the letters, I've had nieces and nephews wanting me to just send them money because they wanted to go do something. This is what they were taught in school. So schools are teaching begging, and I know they teach begging because, you know, all those little things they sell that no one really wants to buy, but you feel guilty, so you have to buy them anyway because it's for the children. Even though the producers of the community are getting taxed out of existence, they still feel like they have to give more. That's a form of begging, is what that is. Because no one would buy that from your child if it wasn't because they didn't feel guilty if they didn't, or shamed if they don't. So are we a nation of beggars? In 1999, see, to me, that doesn't seem that far ago because I'm getting on up there in age. But so to me, 1999 still seems pretty new. And if you're young like Travis, 1999 is probably like Civil War era. But 1999, there was 631,000 nonprofits in America. Now, if I were to take this number back to 1980, I bet it was somewhere around the 200,000 mark. Because you got to think, like Cancer Society, Diabetic Society, all these, NTA, NRA, you know, whatever the newest abortion thing is that someone needs it, or all the animal rights activists, all that. 1999, 631,000. In 2016, 1.5 plus million. That is an industry, is what that is. You want to know why I'm calling it an industry? Because their GDP of what they brought in through donations was 5.3% of the whole United States economy. And that the source for that, if you want to look it up, is the U.S. Bureau of Economics Analysis. Now, all this talk about healthcare being 20%, and look how destructive that's been when the government gets their hands on it. 20%. Just the people that want to have donations is 5.3% of the whole country's GDP. That's insane. 9.2% of all wages and salaries in the United States is from nonprofits. It's an industry. In 2003, in 2013, 1.74 trillion, not billion, not million, 1.74 trillion in total revenues in 2013. The expenses for them to raise 1.74 trillion was 1.63 trillion. So if you want to know how much of that is actually going towards the donations, subtract 1.74 or 1.63 from 1.74, and you will see that that is an industry of profit. Today, that's what it's turned into. I mean, they're very good. From the soccer mom that wants to send their kid to band camp, that they don't want to be responsible for their own children and they want everybody else in the community to pay for it, same thing. All the way up to PETA, same thing. It's the same deal. All the way up through there. is this really what we want to be teaching our children? I mean, think about that. What are you teaching your child when you march them somewhere, put them on the side of the street or something like that? And it's not like they're doing a car wash or they're cutting someone's yard or anything. You get them looking as cute as they can, and they're looking sad, and they're looking deprived, and they got the big deer eyes, and will you please help me go to... And you feel like just an absolute piece of crap, which is already a one-sided relationship with one person to the other, because the other one's already using emotional dishonesty to try to get a response to get resources off of shaming or guilt. That's kind of a hard way to look at it, isn't it? Tell me where I'm wrong. And I tell you what really chaps my butter butt on this one. It's the people that actually need to get charity. They're swallowed up in all of this other greed of charity. Or people that don't want to work for what they want to get charity. People that think that they should just have it charity. So the people that really need charity, everybody else is so just turned off by it, they don't pay no attention to them. Now, I want you to think about this. If there's 1.5 plus million charities, let's just say there's an average of 50 people. So we can say that because, if you look at something like PETA or the Cancer Society or the NRA, there's way more than 50 people on the payroll. So let's just say an average of 50, which would be very small. What's the NTA probably got? 8, 10? It's really, really tiny. So let's just say 50. At 1.5 million, at 50 people apiece, that is 75 million people out of about 310 million that are professional, have their handouters. And that's not even considering all of the hobbyists have their handouters. That's professional. There's 300 million plus a little bit, about 310 in America supposedly. And there's 75 million with an average of 50 per every one of these charities. Do we see an issue here? I hope you can see a trend, because that's 100% increase from 1999 till last year. There ain't no other industries doing that. Begging has become an industry. Now, a couple weeks ago, my wife was going to go to Florida without me because I didn't want to go because it's going to be the 4th of July. It was going to be hot. So I stayed here. But on the way to pick her up, where her and her sister went down, had a good time, inside of Dunlap, I see someone pull over on the side of the road and put out this big sign. And this is what the sign said. Silver Queen corn for sale, which I am a Silver Queen slut. I'll be honest, I think that's the best corn that has ever been invented. It's an heirloom variety. I grow it myself. It is amazing. You won't find it at a store, which I don't know why. But it's amazing corn. They got a whole pickup load full of Silver Queen corn. You know what the rest of the sign said? I grew this to help pay for my college tuition. Is that begging? Nope. What if someone came around and wanted to have donations, but they were willing to cut your yard for it, wash your car for it, clean out your gutters for it? Would that be begging? Nope. That's an equal exchange of value. Their time for your money. See, that's an honest, straight up relationship between two human beings. Now, when someone really needs charity, I'm not talking about the 75 million people that get their salaries from begging, but when someone really needs charity, then it doesn't matter if it's an equal exchange. That's just doing the right thing. And most of us would agree with that. But how do you know anymore? I mean, you're bombarded all the time. Now, see, the Nationals are coming up, and I know what's getting ready to happen. There's going to be about 60 different people, 60, keep that in mind, 60 different people is going to come to my table at the Nationals. And they're going to have their hand out. But it's for trapping, Clint, 60. All the states, a lot of states have more than one organization. Inside of those states, there's stuff for the kids, and they're going to go around to every vendor there, over 60 of them, with their hand out. And see, that may not mean like a lot to you, but that's one show. Go to 10 shows. 600. At $10 a piece, giving something away. $6,000. Now, it's not really $6,000, it's really $12,000 because I've got the $6,000 in it, and then I'm going to have to turn around. I gave that away, so I'm going to have to reproduce it, so it's $12,000. So in reality, it costs the vendor $12,000 if they're going to do that. I've set a budget limit. It's $1,800. I don't spend $1,801 on charity with trapping. I'm just being straight up with you. Because it's got to the point of being ridiculous. Because every state's going to come by and want something for their auction. And they're going to try to tell you it's to help promote your business, which is absolutely bullcrap, by the way. Please don't insult my intelligence this year at the Nationals by telling me that. It does not promote my stuff when you sell it for 10% of the value that it's really worth. That shows the value is less than what it's really worth because that's what someone's paying for it because I donated it and y'all gave it away. So don't tell me that. And that's actually a quote from another buddy of mine that's a dealership. And that's why he's pretty much going to, when a couple of the people come up and ask for money, he's just going to give them like $2 and go, this way I don't have to give you product that I got more money into this and that's all you're going to sell it for anyway. So I figured it's just the same to me and the same to you. It seems harsh, right? Guys, I've been doing this for a long time. This isn't like a yearly thing for us. It's not. Have we become a nation of beggars? I'm more interested, like Georgia, for instance. Now, they come around and they ask for donations. Georgia gets after it. They raise money. They do things to raise money. They run it like a business, not like a begging organization. They're doing very well. It's one of the few states that does this, and as far as I know, besides the money made at the FTA college, neither one of the big groups do it either. But if you were to ask someone that's asking for this money, what exactly, besides asking for donations, how are you supporting the organization? Because see, now I'm getting out of the nation of beggars. Now I'm talking strictly to state organizations that aren't going to like this. But if you're relying on donations as an organization, dude, that's unsustainable. That's not going to work. Because as the economy goes down, so is your donation. So what kind of business plan is that? None. So what's the backup business plan? What are the states doing to generate revenue? Is that silence I hear? Is that silence? Bueller? Bueller? No? No, nothing? I've talked to some guys that have tried to come up with ways for their state to generate money besides asking for it, and they got shut down. Because that's like, you know, like work, like effort, man. We just got to, you know, like get some sucker to walk around in front of all these tables and they just give them stuff. It's like Santa Claus. Then we get to go sell it on our table. But eventually, Santa Claus gets tired of being Santa Claus. Because see, there's a reality of all this and the reason states need to figure out how to generate money. When I go to the Nationals, you know what I paid at the Nationals last year for tables? I've got the check. $1,400. That's not enough donations? Apparently not. For me to go to a show, when I add up expenses, I've got $3,000 minimum for me to go to that show when I count the tables. Then I get 60 people asking for more stuff on top of that. Now, y'all may think that we walk out of there making 15 or 20 grand, and you're sadly mistaken. So what are the states doing to generate their own income streams besides begging or besides the show that they try to double dip on who they're getting money from anyway? See, I'm not being mean with this. And that's something states need to think about. Because I can tell you, as much as people are getting hammered with everybody's hands out, eventually trappers are also going to go, had enough. Love trapping, guys, but hey, I'm donated to death right now. No. Or when the stock market corrects and people don't have a lot of extra money, what are the states going to rely on then? Because I can tell you right now, from dealer side of we're getting kind of frustrated with it. We really are. It's kind of like we're the cash cow for the states. Now, that you would think the members would be, but they're not. Because no one's trying to generate money. See that guy that grew that Silver Queen? Tilled that ground, fertilized it, weeded it, planted the seed, harvested it when it was 92 degrees to get money to help pay for him going to college? Are most people with their hands out, are they willing to do that? I say not. I've had people that I have known wanted money to go on, close to me, want money because they want to go do something that they can kind of massage into something that seems spiritual. And this has, and there, no one in the trapping industry is what I'm talking about here. And they wanted $1,800. They used every bit of language they could to guilt and shame me into doing this. And what I told them was, you come over for the next 4 weekends and you work for me and I'll be glad to give you that money. Do you think anybody showed up? Heck no. That's too much like work, man. I just want you to give it to me. But that's what we're turning into as a nation. Is that the nation that we want to be? Now see, trapping organizations right now are probably pretty mad at me for saying what I've just said. The world has drastically changed in the last 30 years. The model states use are the same exact ones they used 30 years ago. You know, back when people were making a lot of money trapping fur. You go out, you catch 4 raccoons, you got a $100 bill in your pocket, that type of money. So that's who you're wanting to get donations from now, where the raccoons are worth $5 a piece? See, that's a bad business model. It's being lazy is what it is. It's being non-creative. It's just being part of that 75 million people with their hands out of 300. Because I want you to think about, that's dang near 1 out of 3 people are going to be making a living with donations. 1 out of 3. See, I say it's actually more than that, because if you throw government in, they don't produce nothing anyway. All in millions of people are just basically donation suckers too. Because they don't actually produce a product. They just make it hard for everybody that does. Now, I happen to know someone that works in the food stamp industry. And the biggest thing that they say over and over again is people get so upset when they find out that they actually have to spend money they earn on food they eat. So I can kind of understand, if that's the thought process of Americans today, where someone thinks that their money they make should be like on cell phones and going out to eat and, you know, movies and cars and makeup and stuff like that. But food, oh, no. I shouldn't have to pay for that myself. I mean, I should have, you know, the food stamp card for that. Is it any wonder then that parents think that total strangers should pay for their child's entertainment to go to a camp somewhere. It's not that far off, is it? Is it any different to think that trapping organizations are thinking the same way? Because, I mean, on our end, on the dealer end, we're getting dry, man. But it won't make any difference. There'll still be 60 people coming around wanting free stuff to every single vendor there. So what are we going to do about it? I don't know. But if I had children, one thing that you could bet your bottom dollar on, they wouldn't be beggars. They wouldn't be taught that as a principle. They would be taught that if you want something, you have to earn it. And I don't think that that's just really, really crazy. I don't know if there's a good answer for this. It's kind of like in our culture. And it aggravates me to death. And I'll tell you why it aggravates me to death more than anything else. Besides me just being an old codger blowing steam right now. Why it infuriates me is because when people start thinking that way, they're not near as creative and they're not ever going to be as productive as their potential. And it's a waste of the potential that that person has. It's a waste. Because if you need something, or you need money for something, and you have to creatively go get it, and that's what society did again, we would be a society of entrepreneurs. Like I saw in Thailand, where it makes me ashamed when I see people on both sides of the Walmart door now begging, one for band camp and one for softball camp. It makes me ashamed. You know how many beggars I saw in Thailand? Maybe 6. And they were like missing limbs and stuff. Not like we see them now, where just everybody's all of a sudden a veteran or something on the side of the road, which is actually a corporation for most part. It's a legal business. I could count in Thailand, in a city the size of New York or bigger, 6. And we were on the streets every day, all day. Less than 10. But you know what I did see? Everybody had a way to get the needs that they had met by having 1,000 different ways of being an entrepreneur. That's what America used to be, guys. That's what we used to be. Thailand is what we used to be. We're the biggest and baddest country in the world right now because of what we used to be. I'm not sure that's what we're going to continue to be. Because there's a lot of other people in a lot of other countries that are a lot more hungry than we are. Because we just look at things like, how easy is it? Always want to work smart, not hard. Never smart and hard, just smart, not hard. Like, work something to be ashamed of. I mean, with my normal day, this time of year in July, almost August, it's like 3 shirt days. That means I get so sweaty and nasty and clammy feeling when I come in for lunch or something, I have to change shirts. That's every day. It doesn't hurt me to do that. I've got to run more washes of clothes. I'm not special for that. There's a lot of people that are like that. Now, if you're white collar, You're not going to have three short days, probably. But are you being productive? Are you reaching your full potential? Or are you just thinking about that work and smart? I don't know. Is America becoming a land of beggars?